The Road to Goosenville by Morvith, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. 3 minutes. The purse Niccolo hangs up as soon as the recorded message starts. It was a long shot, he knew it. They're off the grid, both Quinn and Booker, and he won't see them again until Charlie's safe house 3 days from now. Less than 3 days. His heart speeds up, beating spasmodically in his chest. Joel, it cries out with every beat. Joel, Joel, Joel. Andy, Quinn, Booker, his mind supplies. Each name like the tolling of a bell. His legs are trembling. Even the kitchen wall isn't enough to hold him, and he slides down to the floor. Their kitchen, with the cabinets they chose together, and the tiles Booker helped them lay, and the big sturdy walnut table from the safe house in Lisbon they always liked. His hands shake. His whole body is shaking, trembling like a leaf in a whirlwind. Somehow he manages not to drop his phone, for all the good it did him. His last lifeline, and it broke. He's alone now, completely alone. Somehow he manages to unlock it, swiping past the contact list to the clock app. He starts a timer for 3 minutes, then leans back against the wall, closes his eyes, and breathes out through his mouth, pushing out all the air in his lungs in a single whoosh. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know your friend's secret. Friends. Friends, he had called them. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The car hitting Booker, watching it happen from the pavement and from above. The video had no sound, but he remembers. He remembers the crunch of metal, the sound of his bones snapping, the dull thud of his body hitting the pavement. He and Joe watching, waiting, the sigh of relief when his wounds started healing. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are immortal, but he isn't. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Shht. You hoeft niet te howlen. My name is Yusuf. Wie ben jij?
Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Booker in the doorway, before they knew him. The look on his face. He knows now that it was horror mixed with fury and determination. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Quinn, wrapping them up in blankets, her soft smile and soft words as she carried a squirming Yusuf out to the car, the jingling of the keys Andy pushed into Booker's hand. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Joe. Booker. Andy. Quinn. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you want him to stay alive, you'll do exactly as I tell you. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Booker. Andy. Quinn. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If they got caught now. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Their home near Marseille, the home where they grew up, where they got to grow up. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Booker, stories before bed, football in the park and on TV, computer pieces and art supplies scattered on a table, slowly driving circles in an empty parking lot. Easy on the clutch, Joe. Stay on the left, Nico. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Andy. Sneaking chocolate before dinner with a wink. Riding on a trail with the wind in their faces. And if somebody grabbed you, this is how you break their fingers. This is how you throw a punch. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Quinn. Warm arms around their shoulders, warm lips on their foreheads, floating in the sea. And keep your shoulders down. If you sink, I'll catch you. And remember to go for the eyes and throat. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll always be here for you. I promise you, we'll never leave you. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll always come for you. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Booker. Andy. Quinn. Safety. Comfort. Love. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Love. Joe. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't remember my life before you, and I can't imagine a future without you. Maybe it's selfish of me. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I'm in love with you. I've loved you since I was 14. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hatena and Hebek, Nikki. A kiss. Ti amo. 2. Je t'aime. 3. I love you. 4. Out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Joel. In. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll do the right thing. You can trust me. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I couldn't live without you, Joe. His phone starts beeping. His 3 minutes are over. Nicola breathes out and opens his eyes. He stops shivering. His stomach has stopped rolling. His heart has slowed down to a normal pace. Good to know some old tricks still work. Slowly, he climbs to his feet, rolls his shoulders. He has a former CIA agent to track down, a rescue to plan. And if it cannot be done, he has a promise to keep. 2 promises. His thoughts turn to their family one last time, to Booker, Andy, and Quinn. Maybe one day they'll forgive him. Chapter 2, 71 Hours. Copley is trying the whole good of humanity spiel again. One last pathetic, transparent attempt to get him to talk, as if he hadn't noticed the plane starting to descend. Yusuf gave up on him on day 2. What was the point? His answers wouldn't change, and Copley wouldn't listen. Yet after 24 hours of silence, possibly more, he's tempted to answer. He can feel the words burning on his tongue. Every soul will taste death. It's particularly true for Booker, Andy, and Quinn, and for the new immortal too, the young Marine he will never meet. What is the life of this world except the enjoyment of delusion? Not that Copley would understand the reference or what Yusuf is really trying to say, yet he is clever for all that he is a fool, and even saying so little might be saying too much. Perhaps it's boredom that makes him considerate. Perhaps it's the long wait. Perhaps it's the tension rising as every tick of the clock carries him inexorably onwards, closer to 0 hours. Si sta, come d'autunno, sugli alberi, le foglie. We are as in autumn, on branches, the leaves. Soldati, the poem is called, soldiers. That's what they are, what he and Nikki chose to be so long ago. The blink of an eye to Andy and Quinn, even to Booker. His heart aches and weeps every time he thinks of them. He used to wonder if there would be a day he'd regret it. If Nikki got hurt, if Nikki was... He could never finish the sentence, his mind shrinking from the mere thought, like a medieval peasant avoids saying the devil's name, as if just saying the word was enough to summon him. As if the mere mention of death and Nikki in the same sentence, the same thought, were enough to make it happen. It will happen soon, yet he still can't say it even in the privacy of his own mind. Now that time is nigh, he finds he doesn't regret their decision. Andy was right, they were not prepared for the realities of the job. How could they possibly be? Yet they endured, improved, prospered, even. How could they not, when they had their family at their back? Because that's what they were, what they have always been. Not just soldiers, but a family. Copley, for all his skills and intelligence, missed it. It will be his and Merrick's downfall. No, he doesn't regret their decision, their choices, any of the choices they made, including this one. It's not how they hope to go, but it has to be this way. There are worse things than dying, and he and Nikki have always known. It's a strange peace that fills him now. Not complete peace. There's still too much pain, too much fear and sorrow in his heart, but it's there. He can't say he has no regrets. But they are small, paltry things. He wishes he could see Andy, Quinn, and Booker again. Niccolo might, and Yusuf doesn't envy him for that. At least the last time he spoke to them, he told them he loved them. Nikki will find a way. A letter, perhaps, or some sort of message, but it won't be the same. It's the most important thing, he knows, but there's just so much more he wants to tell them. I'm sorry. I hoped we'd have more time. I love you. If it has to happen, better to me and Nikki. Better to us who have a way out. It was only talk. It was only ever meant to be a contingency plan, just in case. Now it's reality, and Yusuf is so, so thankful they talked about it. They decided what to do long ago, in cold blood, and with an unclouded mind. Selfish, Copley called them once, and only once. Yusuf had spat at him. It had earned him a punch from Keen himself, but it had been worth it. Yusuf has never envied their gift, not once. He has always been selfishly glad for it, even if every wound they took, every death, carried the sharp sting of fear as he and Niccolo waited with bated breath for them to heal, to wake up, for the confirmation that they would not be alone, that their family would not abandon them. Instead, it will be him and Nico who do, who leave them behind, as it was always going to happen, no matter if now or in 50 years, and he owes Andy, Quinn, and Booker so many apologies, because he always thought it would be easier. This will be hard on them, it will devastate them, but they will pick themselves up and carry on. They'll have to. He thinks, once again, about the new immortal, the woman whose name he doesn't even know. Perhaps that's why she came now, in their hour of danger. Thank you for existing. Thank you. Please take care of them for us. I wish I could have met you. I wish I could have known you. The plane touches down. Keen and his men are already moving, eager to get going, get some action, ready to go after his family as if they were beasts, ready to capture them and lock them up like animals in a zoo without a second thought. Yusuf watches them and doesn't pity them, not even a little. For a moment, he hears Nicola's deep, calm voice in his mind. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Oh, but he does. Both he and Nico do. It almost brings a smile to his lips. He's not sure what Niccolo has planned for them, but he has a few ideas. For the last 71 hours, he has been wondering if they specifically targeted him or if it was just a fluke or maybe destiny. He's glad he's here and not Nico. There's no one in the world he trusts more than Nico will see it through. Nico will not falter. Yusuf is not saying he would. He's not saying his courage would desert him, but he'd have to hurt Nico. and that might make him hesitate. There can be no room for hesitation, not with their family's lives at stake. He just wishes there had been a way to ease Niccolo's burden, to be with him. He wishes Nico didn't have to do this alone. Niccolo, Nico, Nicky, my heart, my love. If his heart weeps for Andy and Quinn and Booker, how can he explain the absolute agony of his soul rent in two? What words can describe the airless void that surrounds him, where no sunlight or moonlight reach? These past 3 days, he has thought about them as rarely as possible and about Nico least of all, whenever they left him alone, when there were no conversations to eavesdrop or coded messages to plan. He lost himself in poetry. As you set out for Ithaca, hope your road is a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade when spring comes back with rustling shade. A futile endeavor, perhaps, since to think about poetry is to think about Niccolo. Again, love, the limb loosener, rattles me, bittersweet, irresistible, a crawling beast. I die for love of him, perfect in every way, lost in the strains of wafting music. You wrap your name tight around my ribs and keep me warm. I was born for you. Hands grab him and drag him out of the seat, push him up the aisle. Copley watches him from his own seat, following him with disappointed eyes. Yusuf sees a hint of anger, too, and barely keeps himself from smirking. It doesn't matter now. Copley, Merrick, Keen, they're nothing unimportant. They have lost and do not know it yet. But Yusuf will not waste his last hours on earth thinking about them. All the time he has left now is for Andromache and Quinn, for Booker and Nicky. Soon he will see Nicky again. Soon they will be together and no force in the world will part them again. I wish we could have had more time, my love. I wish I could have grown old with you. But if we must go, at least it's together. At least we'll keep our family safe one last time. This is the day, the hour they have chosen. Think where man's glory most begins and ends. And say, my glory was, I had such friends. The end.